Wow, you guys, I'm Rick Dancer. Welcome to Get Real with Rick Dancer. We're going to talk parental rights tonight. You have the right to know what your child is learning in school and being educated about. And you just need to take it. You just need to do it and do your thing and have fun with it. And so we're going to talk to a couple of parents, one from Eugene and one from Springfield. And I just realized that I forgot to put something in here. And I like this so much that I'm going to go find it real quick while you guys are sitting there waiting for me, because this is open to our show. Somebody asked me the other day, why do you call it Get Real with Rick Dancer? It's because I spent 30 years in the news industry being the Rick Dancer that they wanted me to be. And now it took me this long to find out and get real with myself, to find out who I really am. Is there a cost? You bet there is. Did Facebook pull you? In fact, TikTok just shut me down today on a live because I was talking about the true narrative and it didn't line up with the cultural narrative. And so they said I was spreading misinformation. That's what we're up against, guys. We just got to keep going. You got to keep pushing. Let people know what we're doing over here. That helps us a lot. And our sponsors, please honor them. We cannot do this without our sponsors. And our sponsors are Albert Taylor, Endless Possibilities, a wonderful organization in Eugene and Springfield that works with people with different abilities, gives them the life that they deserve. And they're wonderful. They're always looking for employees. And also Chris Dental Family Dentistry, where everybody is welcome. They're also now a denture center, have a full-time denturist on staff. And Dr. Bratlin also just happens to be running for the Eugene 4J School Board. If you want to get a sign from him to put out in your yard, you can go to his office right over by Trader Joe's, pick one up. And he also has other candidates in the area that are running. They have their signs there too. And we'll be hearing from him in a little bit too. And also the folks at Albert Taylor. Tonight, we're going to talk about something really important, because one of the things that I've noticed about us as people, when I ran for Secretary of State, I noticed this a lot. Nobody wanted to run for school board because it's a thankless job. City council, county commission, planning commission, any of those places. But that's what we're learning, is that's where the power is. That's where your voice is really heard. And as parents in the schools, you have so much potential of turning things around. The district works for you. The school board is elected by you. They work for you. The superintendent works for you. And all of those teachers work for you, despite what the union thinks. The Oregon Education thinks that you guys work for them, but that's not the way it works. So our guests tonight are going to talk a little bit about some of that, and I'm going to talk about some of it. Nicole DeGraff is a parent in Springfield, also running for the Springfield School Board. And Sarah McKinley, is a parent in Eugene, very involved in parental action. So we're not trying to get you to do anything you don't want to do. We're just trying to get you involved. So Nicole, kind of start off with, what in the heck is wrong with you? You want to run for school board? Do you know how much time that takes and how much you have to work?
Yeah, I'm finding out. Well, I'm a mom. I have three kids, two high schoolers and one elementary student. And when my son was at Willamette Leadership Academy, it was a really good program for him. And I just remember I want to do something to give back, because I love the teachers. I love the program. And so I was appointed to the school board there. It wasn't like a political stepping stone for any kind of career or anything. I just wanted to show up and be a part of what was going on. And
that's a charter school in the Eugene school.
Yeah,
district,
a charter, right? School, Springfield Charter School. So that was my kind of first toe in the water as far as just going to regular meetings and learning how things kind of work a little bit. But I kind of knew things are, with COVID, the public school system really wasn't working out too much for my kids. I ended up pulling them to homeschool. And so I had asked people to run for office, you know, run for school board. And I just thought, well, you know, I'm kind of doing this work. I work for an educational nonprofit. I'm already helping parents be empowered. I'm talking to teachers about behavior issues, and I just felt like this was the right step for me as far as running for school board.
So Sarah, now your kids, you're in your Eugene school district, and you work a lot with other parents trying to teach them how to get involved. Do you think that parents don't realize the power that they could have if they wielded it?
Yeah, I feel like there's this disconnect. I think that I can't speak to teachers and, you know, administrators, but I do think even those types of people feel like they don't, you know, what can we do? What can we say? But parents, especially, when you go to a school board meeting, there's not a lot of people there. And so there are lots of different ways to get involved, and it is really important. And I'm just involved because I'm a mom. Almost two years ago, we moved from Nebraska. So I'm a mom of four, all different ages. So from 19 to nine. And the public school system in Nebraska is very, very different. And so we didn't know when we put our kids in the public school what it was like, because you couldn't go in the year before, right?
Right.
And where I'm at in North Eugene, that's still true. The middle school my son's a part of, no volunteers. North Eugene High School, there's no volunteers during school hours.
Why?
So you have to fill out a volunteer form, right? It's very complicated. I filled out one form they had online. I turned it to central office and I turned it into the principal. Heard nothing. So I followed up. The principal gave me another form. So I filled out that form. Then I got sent another form. I had to fill out that form. And then, what was it? It was just so complicated. Then there was like five more forms. And at the end, I needed to sign this letter that I couldn't sign with a good conscience. Supposed to wear a mask the entire time, never eat with children for the unforeseeable future. I just couldn't sign it for my conscience.
Are they still requiring vaccines for parents to come in and work?
Yes. So then I followed back up. That was in November. So
Biden even signed something today that said basically after 3 years, the damn thing's over.
Yeah.
So it feels like, I think if I was a parent, this feels like they don't really want your involvement.
Mm-hmm. Well, how many parents could jump through all those hoops?
Right.
Well, or has time to do that?
Exactly.
They probably know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I mean, teachers want help. Administrators want help. It's something else that's getting, you know, clogged up. So
what, Nicole, you actually served on the school board, did you, with Willamette Leadership?
Yeah.
So did you find like I'm sure by doing that, you were doing it at first, go, okay, I'll do it. You know, we need somebody, blah, blah, blah. But you get in there, did you see how much influence you could really have over curriculum,
yeah,
things going on in there? Talk about that.
Well, because it's a charter, they have a little bit different issues that end up coming onto their agenda. But because it was during COVID, I was able to, be a part of voting for kids to come back in full time, and the mandate before Kate Brown did the mandate, whether or not staff should be vaccinated or anything like that. So I was on the side of choice. There is quite a lot of things that even as parents, because parents did show up and get some comment about those issues. But there are a lot of things that school boards do have as far as some of the power in picking curriculum. But parents have this power too, so that we have site councils, and you can be a part of that as far as helping pick instructional materials, help with the professional development of teachers and staff. And I think parents just don't even know like all the different options. You know, it doesn't have to come down to you're just going to go yell at the school board. You can start with the teacher, then you go to the principal. You can write letters to the editor. You can submit a formal complaint. You can look, if you're curious about books in your school library, you can look up, you can look it up online, fall at Destiny Discover. School boards have a lot of power. Unfortunately, there's some things that are happening at the legislature that are, they're looking to take away that power from school boards. But we still need local control, because the school boards know what's going on in the community and what works for our community.
Okay, I want you guys to hold that thought. I've got a couple of ads I want to run on here. But what I want when we come back is to talk about some real feet on the ground, kind of what people can actually do to get involved. Okay, so we'll do that in just a second here.
I really don't care what people think. And so there's consequences. And maybe one day I'll say something that gets my license taken away or something because I've been anti-masked, anti-COVID vaccinations. And but I want real science. And I look at data, and I looked at data from the get-go and stuff. The worst thing they could ever do is just take away my license, and so be it. I'll do something else. I don't care. I'm not going to let people control my thought. And as a doctor, we should all sit there and question things. We should be allowed to question things. And sometimes I might be wrong, but I should have the ability to question things and verbalize that.
One of the biggest things for people that I have supported, one of their complaints has always been, why do they talk to me like I'm a baby? Why can't they talk to me like they're talking to you? And they're absolutely right. They're very smart. The people we support are very intelligent. And so when you talk to them as if you're talking to a small child, it's offensive. And so, yeah, I think educational videos, you know, bringing that here to show everybody would help. They know that they're not perfect. They know that they're special. That's what some of them say to me, at least, that they know they're special because they don't really like to refer to themselves as having disabilities. They like to say they're special. And so they know this, they're aware of that. They don't want the community to throw that back at them because it's perceived negatively when that happens. So having that education to understand that they're just like you and I.
I love my clients. I have, because I feel like all of my commercial, like little commercial things, are really infomercials with people telling you how we can better live our lives. You know, from Dr. Gratlin to Albert Taylor saying, here's how you treat people with different abilities. I mean, it's like, it's not selling soap. You know, it's like people that are really committed to our community and what we're doing. And I just love that. And I'm lucky to get to do what I do. So let's talk about so I think a lot of parents, you'll run up against that. Like you said, Sarah, here's all these things you have to fill out. With going to the school district and saying, why do you make this so hard? I'm trying to help out. What are some things people can do to kind of take back the schools in a way where, you know, where parents can be in there? Because I think what's really brought this to a head, and I'm sure both of you would agree with me, is the Churchill, sex assignment that was handed out. I think it really opened people's eyes in Eugene, Springfield, Harrisburg, everywhere, going, whoa, 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 whoa. This is part of the curriculum, you know? And you said, Nicole, you went to a sex ed meeting with Planned Parenthood to find out what was going to be taught. And you were the only parent there.
Right. Yeah. It was a curriculum review night. So, you know, a lot of times you hear things that, things are going on at the school and parents aren't told, but you know, there's plenty of things they have to get permission for. You can opt out for. There's every school has opt out forms. Unfortunately, some of the curriculum nowadays, you can't opt out of like across the board subjects, but you can opt out of sex ed. And I was the only parent that showed up for a parent review night. So, you know, there are some instances that happen like with Churchill where a parent doesn't know and they're just saying, okay, you know, just go ahead and teach this. But in my case, one of my daughters was 12 and I got a call from the principal. They're having this girls empowerment club. And I said, well, what is that? Is there one for boys? And she said, no, boys don't need that. So it kind of felt like they're targeting girls. And so I said, well, I need more information. This is an hour instructional time during school hours. What's going to happen? And they didn't really want to tell me what was going to go on. And then they sent a form home saying my daughter had to sign a sheet that says she was going to keep secret from parents what was going on in that weekly meeting. And I was like, what? You know, yeah, I know. And so it was some other things.
Is this like a disclosure statement? I mean, makes you think is what don't you want people to know?
Exactly. Well, I don't know what went on because after the introductory meeting, we said no to that because that's not okay with us. So, but you know, there are things that parents can opt out of. And I think parents need to sign up for their school or district newsletter. The first part of understanding what's going on is educating yourself. I know it's hard to get sometimes what curriculum is being taught, but there is a way to find out. Right now you have to go to the school and you have to spend some time there going through their curriculum binders. There was a bill to make a curriculum more transparent, but it got watered down, and it's just going to be a link on the district website going back to Oregon Department of Education, which it's not good enough, but baby steps, right? We'll take that. But for the most part, parents just need to be aware and just sign up for everything.
So Sarah, are there groups that help parents to do that though too, as well? Like, can kind of, because I could see parents out there. I have somebody who wrote on here, yeah, but if you go against what happens in these schools, you're wrong and a bad parent. Nothing should ever be hidden from parents, no matter what it is. And so I
don't
think
be afraid.
And you know, I think isn't that really the lesson in all of this right now? I hope this doesn't sound wrong, but I usually say things and then say I'm sorry later. But if we really care about our children and what they're learning, you have to get past the embarrassment and you have to be kind of just go forward and say, what are good questions? And Sarah, you said something earlier, you have to be kind and forceful. So talk about that. What's kind and forceful?
Yeah, so I went to the school board meeting right after the Churchill incident. And, you know, I know parents were angry. They had every right to be angry. I was angry. I mean, it's terrible, you know, it's horrible. But the thing is we can still be kind and respectful. And if we want to be heard, we want our questions answered. We need to start with relationship, kindness, and respectfulness. Like people on the school board, they're giving up hours. Like Eugene, they're there till 1 o'clock in the morning. You know what I mean? Like it's crazy. I don't know that I could sign up to be that committed to be on the school board. So we have to start with kindness and think about the other person that we're speaking to. How can we meet in the middle? So I did this like phone call-a-thon yesterday. We called lots of parents.
What's that?
So finding out, like asking questions to your school and parents, how can I be involved? Because there's things that are probably hidden away that you can be involved in that you don't know. So one of my schools does have a parents group and I joined it and we made phone calls for the forecasting that's happening. But anyway, I got to call two pages of parents, right? Eighth grade parents and talk to them and have this conversation. And the thing I kept hearing over and over is the disconnect. And I think that's really why a lot of these things have been allowed, because we're so disconnected. So whatever group that you can get involved in, right? Whether, you know, it's Oregon's Moms Union, or there's lots of them on Facebook. There's your school probably has them. Your school probably has a PTO, has a site council. I think they have to have a site council, right? It's like the law, right, Nicole?
Yes.
So those are all things you could be involved in. Then you get to meet parents and hear that you're not the only bad parent. You're not the only one asking questions. You're not the only one struggling. That's what power is, connection, I feel like.
I totally agree with you. And relationship.
Yes, yes.
And so what has happened over the last 3 or 4 decades is we've been disjointed. We don't have neighborhoods anymore. We don't, you know, once you get out of grade school, you're not really as involved in your kids' schools anymore. And then people just kind of have taken over. I don't think it's not some plot, you know, but I think they've taken over. And then, you know, I can't believe I'm saying this, but then the most miraculous thing happens, COVID. Something designed for bad turned into good, because what it told all of us is, you lazy people, get off your dead ass and get up and do something, because you have to be involved in the world you live in, whether it's your school, the city. And so look at, we're all waking up because we realize, and I think it's also telling parents and people and us and you and me and Nicole and Ratlin and other people who are running for school board, if you want to change this, then you have to change this. Mm-hmm. Not something, you know, like Michael said, I may lose my dental license, but oh well, I'll survive. You know what I mean? It's not that he wants to, but we have to be willing to put this on the line for our kids and for the future of our kids.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely do. I mean, we are, someone shared with me a while back, you know, it's like we are our kids' greatest advocate. And right now I think sometimes we're the our only kids' advocate, really. You know, so if we do not step into that role hardcore, what's going to happen? I mean, it's very serious to take your role as a parent very seriously about education, because we don't know what's going on in there. Because, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I have never been allowed in the classroom while classroom is happening, you know, while teaching is actually happening in Oregon. I don't know what's going on in there.
And shouldn't we? I mean, I think, you know, the COVID thing is just an excuse. I mean, shouldn't it be, there should be like a mass group of people just saying, I want in my classroom, I pay for this, it's my education. And if not, I think what they're going to do if they don't open these up, school choice is going to, I think it's already going to happen. But even in Oregon, I think the school choice could happen where parents are going, okay, you know what? Time for a little competition for the public schools, because you're not doing it and you're not letting me in. It's my money and it's my kid. And I think that's where the organizations are going to lose. And it's not you against the teachers or you against the administrators. It's a system that is out of control, and parents can, I think if enough people push through your mom's groups and the things you were mentioning, if people just got in there, as you know, there's safety in numbers and there's power in numbers. And if people got together, and you know, I'm not saying we should, you know, go storm the school. I'm just saying, calling and saying, I want you, you need to find ways to get people involved. I want to be involved in my child's education, or I will take them elsewhere.
Right. I think there's more of I think a disconnect comes from, like, you hear this thing happening at the state level where parents are kind of the enemy, but the local level, teachers want the parents to be involved. There's behavior issues, room clears, bullying, you know, teachers want the support and they want the parents involved. And, you know, for years we've known that parents being involved creates more academic success. And, you know, it's just, COVID was good in that there's a silver lining that we saw what was happening more. And then also there's more accessibility, I think, with being able to do things online. So school board meetings are online. But yeah, parents need to not be afraid and just get involved, get involved in the classroom.
Here's a great comment from a Facebook user. Says, but parents are backing off of what goes on in the schools because they are told they have no choice. So how do you change that? I have two kids in school and told that it's not parents' business. First of all, that's bullshit right there. Yeah. So how do we get going and break the cycle?
Well, you do have to persist because, like Sarah said, you know, she finally got through all those forms and decided, well, you know, she couldn't sign that last form. But it's not true. Like, parents have the right. Like, there's the Parents Pupils Rights Amendment. You have the right to know the curriculum and the instructional materials. So find out what your rights are, first of all. You're not going to find a lot of principals and teachers that are just going to shut you out. You might find administrators here and there that make it difficult. But you can work through that. There was a situation in another town here in Oregon where a teacher brought some banned books that were really explicit to school, and she wasn't getting an answer from the teacher, from the principal. She met with the superintendent. Finally, they had an investigation because she filed a formal complaint. And sometimes it does lead up to that, but for the most part, you do have to persist and you do have rights. ODE, I contacted them because I said, hey, can I opt my kid out of some of these newer comprehensive sex ed that was not something I agreed with? And they said, well, you can opt out of this part, but you can't opt out of this part. So I think parents just need to ask questions, ask the school, contact the person that you know would have the direct answer, even if you have to go straight to the state level. Just persist.
And ODE is Oregon Department of Education, for those people who are watching that don't know. Somebody volunteers, Lorice volunteers at Philomath, so that's probably a smaller school, so they can do that. But they don't anymore. You go to teachers, principals, and school boards, and are they pushed away? This is a national life, not just Oregon. Oh, okay, so you're writing as a national. Why? Mm-hmm. This is nationwide. So like groups, like I you mentioned the moms group, and I know there's others out there. So that is a resource of information where people can get informed on how to, because I think the hardest thing is if you're just home alone, you got two kids and you and your husband are just a single moms, you know, or something like that, you don't feel like you have any power. So you need somebody. You guys have these groups drawn up any kind of ideas and plans, or people you can meet with to talk and go, hey, what if we went to Santa Clara and did this, or Churchill and did that?
Well, Oregon Moms Union has a lot of resources. The whole group started just to help support parents be empowered locally. So there's a ton of resources on their webpage, just free resources that got put together to help parents. Because as soon as someone asks a question, how do I find this? How do I find the books in my library? We researched and, you know, put that all together. So that's one resource. I know there's another resource. I think it's Parents' Rights and Education. There's a couple different ones. And like Sarah said, locally, just talking to parents locally, just start asking questions, put it on your Facebook page, ask parents, ask other parents, you know, that have kids, what are they doing?
So Nicole, what concerns you the most that you're now running for the Springfield School Board? Was there one thing, or was it a combination of a couple of things?
It was a combination of a couple of things, but I think the catalyst for me was the Churchill thing, because I didn't want to see that happening, because I knew parents could be more involved. I took my daughter to Thurston High School for a dance class. She's nine, and all the little 9-10-year-olds were running around the library because they opened it up for us. But there was this huge display of explicit books. And I was a little nervous because I had seen them, and I knew what a few of them were, and I won't get you banned off of, you know, Facebook by mentioning the names, but I had emailed the school district saying, you know, we were in there for a few hours. There's a lot of kids that could have had access to those books. You know, I don't know if they're not even appropriate for high school, in my opinion. And I was frustrated that I got put off. So I would say that the catalyst is just things that are, it's just the shaping of society that I don't necessarily, you know, think is very healthy for kids. And then hearing from teachers that don't feel supportive, and the behavior issues. I have kids that have been on IEPs. I know the different issues. So just a combination of things.
That seems to be, Sarah, a huge issue. That has come up in with teachers to me. I mean, they don't go public with it, but they'll call me or write me emails. I've had numerous emails from teachers after I talked to Dr. Bratlett about this, about the behavior problems in the classroom and how one child misbehaving and the whole rest of the class is not getting educated. When you're number 47 in terms of educating people, as Oregon is, we're at the bottom of the pile. It seems to me we need to do something different, and getting a handle on that would probably be a big thing. One, for those poor teachers who are not social workers, they're educators. And then for all those poor kids that are having to sit there while, you know, Janie or Johnny has a temper tantrum, and everything's based on getting them into their, you know, their program or whatever. What about the 30 other kids in the class?
Yeah. Yeah. So last night I was listening to school board member and some candidates, and they were like sharing that the issue is smaller class size. And I'm like, teachers aren't telling me. And my sister's a teacher. My husband was a teacher. My mom was a teacher. My grandma was, everybody's a teacher in my family.
Me
so,
too.
You know, I got a lot of teachers, and I worked for a nonprofit with youth before coming here. And so I'm not hearing smaller class size. What I'm hearing is they need support.
Right. Yeah. So, cause that becomes an excuse, don't you think?
Yes. I think that's what it said. And it's like, I don't think that's the issue. It's the issue of, I mean, my kids at school, they had so many behaviors at recess. They had to hire an outside group come to run PE at recess. And then the kids complained so much and had so many issues because they didn't want to do PE at recess. They had to make a choice for kids if they did PE or if they did regular recess, because there were so many behaviors after that. And that's elementary. Like, kids coming out of COVID are not in great shape. And, you know, I'm not sure what's going to, you know, we need to do something, and something quick.
So it seems like when you're saying, you know, people, the district or whatever, they're going for classroom size again, that's the old answer.
Yeah.
We've had a whole 3 years of all kinds of hell, and That is not the answer. The answer is you're just, let's be real, you're allowing one or two kids with behavior problems to disrupt an entire class and the education of kids in Oregon. So you need to do the same thing you need to do in Portland, is start acting like a real parent. And I'm sorry, we're going to bring up that, well, can I wonder if I could say punish, reprimand,
discipline,
well, expectations,
you know, set an expectation for what's allowed in a classroom, and think about the other 30 freaking kids and not just the couple that are the problems.
And it's, you know, it's not just bad for the kids too. There's been some cases where teachers have been physically hurt in our workers' comp. And I mean, there has to be a balance. Like I said, I have a special needs kid with an IEP, and I understand that. But yeah, it's learning losses, mental health issues after COVID. We're just, there's things that you as a parent can do to try to help with learning losses, whether that's look for tutors for math, go volunteer to help with reading. But the behaviors, they do need to have expectations, and the teachers need to have a clear support.
So is it kind of exciting times in a way?
It is for me. I wasn't scared off for running for school board. And I know there's 30,000 kids that have left the system. I don't know if they're all homeschooling or if they all moved to Idaho or Montana, but you know, there's going to be some shift here. So it's exciting to me.
And Sarah, that you're through these different groups and stuff, reestablishing connections with parents, giving probably parents who, you know, never thought about it, the ability to have the power to take charge of their children, and, you know, and doing something good for the community. And yeah, I don't think it's going to be, I think it's going to get a little worse before it gets better, but we're in process, and I love seeing you guys doing what you're doing. I love, Nicole, that you are like Bratlin and the others stepping up and going, you know what, I'll lay my life on this thing, because this is what we have to do. And each of us, Sarah does it in a different way. Each of us as community members need to be speaking out about this and saying, asking questions. I know we were taught during the dark time that questions were bad, but it never stuck for me. So I didn't learn that lesson very well, because I was raised in a family of teachers, and my dad was a negotiator for that wonderful organization, the Oregon Education Association. And so it's their fault that I learned to critically think and to ask lots of questions. And the questions we should be asking are, why, if the entire country is off the emergency, are schools still requiring parents to come with masks? Why don't parents have more rights to come into the classroom than they do? And you get to ask those questions. You get to, and nobody gets to tell you they're stupid.
Yeah.
Nobody gets to tell you you can't ask. It is your right. I would say it is your duty to ask those questions.
Yeah, we have to know, like, as parents, we're the ones that need to ask those things and to keep asking. So if a teacher or administrator says that's ridiculous, keep asking, reach out to other groups, talk to someone in a different state. I think for me, that's like something that I've learned. I thought the public school system was all the same everywhere, right? It's not. And lots of people have different, you know, ideas and thoughts and know where to go with your questions.
So real quick, because I know somebody walked in your room. It's okay. This is like a part of our show.
Bring, I know, my child walked in, of course. The teenager.
So real quick, differences between when you came to Oregon from Nebraska, what was your biggest shock in the school system?
Well, I mean, look at the statistics. So Nebraska's education system just scores way higher. The amount of things Nebraska offers, like, you know, they're not talking so much about mental health as us necessarily, but they have the things, you know, they have art class, they have pottery, they have home economics anymore, but it's the same thing, you know, cooking and learning how to childcare and choir and just so many more options.
So you mean they're like focusing on like education, not socialization.
And the scores.
In the process of educating, they socialize them, but that's not the focus.
That's what get kids to go to school. The kids might show up for their, they'll go to school for that drama.
Yes. Yeah. That. Oh, Nicole got it. So yeah, so like drama class in middle school. So anyway, there's just, and that's one thing. And I would say the other thing, the first thing that I noticed going to Oregon schools from from Nebraska was, is the people greeting our kids for the first time after COVID didn't look at the children, they looked at the dog. So my kid, so in Nebraska, people look at each other, they were friendly, they, you know, greeted kids, and it's just a totally different environment, even that way, I would say. And then just the expectations. So, I mean, my kids are a year and a half ahead. The expectations of where, what we're learning, when we're learning it, how we're learning it. So there, I mean, I can go on and on about that. Well, but
I'm glad you came to Oregon, because you can finish. Yeah. You can, I mean, I'm glad I'm not, but I'm glad you came, because you can show us that this is not reality. That's, I think some people get mad at me because I talk about, you know, the things in Montana and stuff like mm-hmm. that. But this, there's, you know, it used to be they described Eugene as 40 miles, a square mile surrounded by reality. But I think it's bigger than that. I think it's the entire Willamette Valley surrounded by reality. And it's time parents help bring some of that back. And we can. That's the cool thing. And I want you to see this note. Nicole and Sarah, please keep doing what the ladies are doing. Thank you. So people do notice when you stand up.
And feel free to reach out to me, Nicole. We like more friends. We like connecting with people.
Do you have a website for that mom's group? Do you know what it is? Can I write it in?
It's OregonMomsUnion.com.
Okay, so
and
I just
you put, can look up, like, there's just, that's what I started to do on Facebook, you know, is just look up groups and you'll find all kinds of things.
Okay, I just put that one on there so they can get a hold of whoever that is and kind of get on with that. Ladies, thank you so much. I am glad this worked out. It's been great having both of you. Nicole, good luck. So if you guys live in the Springfield School District, Nicole is someone you could vote for. I can do that now because I'm not like a news guy anymore. So I can do whatever I want. So you can vote for Nicole. And just, you know, it's not that that the school board members that are there now are bad, but it's good to bring fresh blood in and people with different ideas. And that's what we should be doing and balancing out everything. All right, ladies, thank you so much again for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, you guys, so there again. So what do we learn? You are the power. You truly are the power. And you have to take this back for your children and for the state of Oregon. And it's not just your kids. It's all of those other kids in the schools. And some of those parents don't have the ability to fight. And they don't have the ability to stand up to people. And that's not a hit on them, but you do. And I really honestly think we are being tested to see what we are made of. And I think you're gonna do really well. So vote, oh, please vote. And think about who you vote for. Don't just vote for the prettiest name. Find out who these people are that are running for your school boards next in May. That's the next election. I think it's May 16th or something like that. But find out who they are and go vote. And with your vote, you can start to make some change. All right, I'm Rick Dancer. We want to thank our sponsors, Chris Dental Family Dentistry, where everyone is welcome, and Albert Taylor Endless Possibilities, where everybody is also welcome, and they do wonderful things for human beings. Okay, tomorrow night, we have a weird story for you. Got a call from a lady. I have this pretty regularly. Someone's using my picture and trying to scam her. I get catfished all the time. So he used to be a huge problem. I'd spent thousands of dollars trying to stop it, and you can't. But this woman has agreed to go on tomorrow night and talk about what happened and what's going on and how to kind of give you some advice on, you cannot trust what you see on the internet. And this guy, well, there's several of them that do this, but one of them got $170,000 from a woman on my page. 170, and you might think, well, how stupid. He's picking lonely people, widows, people that are down and out, and he's taking their money. So we're going to talk to her tomorrow. She's in Georgia, and we're going to talk with her and find out more about that, and then we'll have a show on Thursday as well. All right, share these on your page, because Facebook doesn't like me, and anything you can do to share it out there helps us a lot. You can find us on rickdancer.com if you don't like Facebook, or YouTube, at Rick Dancer TV. Have a good night. I'll see you tomorrow. You are the power. We the people will not comply.